Chapter 6. Reclaim Your Masculinity. Contrary to the prevailing sentiments of the last few decades, it is okay to be a guy. Men born after World War II had the misfortune of growing up during the only era of recent Western history in which it was not always a good thing to be male. This was primarily the result of two significant family and social changes in the post-war era. Boys were disconnected from their fathers and other healthy male role models, and boys were forced to seek approval from women and accept a female definition of what it meant to be male. As a result of these two dynamics, many boys and men came to believe that they had to hide or eliminate any negative male traits, like those of their fathers or other bad men, and become what they believed women wanted them to be. For many men, this life strategy seemed essential if they wanted to be loved, get their needs met, and have a smooth life. Due to the continuing social change of the last half of the 20th century, this belief system is no longer limited to just men of the baby boom generation. I frequently observe men in their 30s, 20s, and teens with strong, nice guy traits. It seems that each successive generation of men are becoming more and more passive. This social conditioning affects nice guys in many ways. Nice guys tend to be disconnected from other men. Nice guys tend to be disconnected from their own masculinity. Nice guys tend to be monogamous to their mothers. Nice guys tend to be dependent on the approval of women. Nice guys tend to be disconnected from other men. I frequently hear nice guys make comments such as, "I'm just not comfortable with other men. I don't know what to talk about." Most men are jerks. I used to have male friends, but my wife made it such a hassle to do things with them that I just gave up. I tend to be a loner. Many nice guys have difficulty connecting with men because of the limited positive male contact they experienced in childhood. Because these men did not have a positive bond with their father, they never learned the basic skills necessary to build meaningful relationships with men. Another common trait among nice guys is the belief that they are different from other men. This distorted thinking usually began in childhood when they tried to be different from their bad or unavailable father. In adulthood, nice guys often create a similar dynamic with men in general. Nice guys may convince themselves they are different from, better than, other men because they believe they aren't controlling, they aren't angry and rageful, they aren't violent, they are attentive to a woman's needs, they're good lovers, they're good fathers. As long as nice guys are disconnected from men or believe they are different from other men, they cut themselves off from the many positive benefits of male companionship and the power of a masculine community. Breaking Free, Activity 24. Look over the list above. Note the ways you have consciously or unconsciously tried to be different from your father and or other men. How does the belief that you are different keep you disconnected from other men? Nice guys tend to be disconnected from their masculinity. I define masculinity as that part of a man that equips him to survive as an individual, clan, and species. Without this masculine energy, we would have all become extinct eons ago. Masculinity empowers a man to create and produce. It also empowers him to provide for and protect those who are important to him. These aspects of masculinity include strength, discipline, courage, passion, persistence, and integrity. Masculine energy also represents the potential for aggressiveness, destructiveness, and brutality. These characteristics frighten nice guys, and most women. Therefore, nice guys work especially hard to repress these traits. Most nice guys believe that by repressing the darker side of their masculine energy, they will win the approval of women. This seems logical considering the anti-male climate that has permeated our culture since the 1960s. Ironically, these same men frequently complain that women seem to be attracted to jerks rather than nice guys like them. Many women have shared with me that due to the absence of any discernible life energy in nice guys, there is little to be attracted to. They also revealed that their tendency to be attracted to jerks is because these men have more of a masculine edge to them. As nice guys try to avoid the dark side of their masculinity, they also repress many other aspects of this male energy force. As a result, they often lose their sexual assertiveness, competitiveness, creativity, ego, thirst for experience, boisterousness, exhibitionism, and power. Go watch Little Boys on the Playground, and you will see these qualities. I am convinced that these are good things worth keeping. One of the most visible consequences of the repression of masculine energy in nice guys is their lack of leadership in their families. Out of fear of upsetting their partner or appearing too much like their controlling, authoritarian, or abusive fathers, nice guys frequently fail to be the leader their family needs. Consequently, the job of leading the family often falls on the wives. Most of the women I talk to don't want this job, but end up taking it by default. Nice guys tend to be monogamous to their mothers. Becoming and remaining monogamous to their mothers is a common pattern for nice guys. This unconscious bond is the result of a normal childhood developmental phenomenon gone amok. Let me explain. All little boys naturally fall in love with their mother and desire to have her all to themselves. Healthy mothers and fathers help their sons successfully move through this normal developmental stage. As they do, the young boy individuates from his mother, bonds with men, and becomes available for an intimate relationship with another woman in adulthood. Each parent plays a significant role in facilitating this healthy transition. First, the mother must know how to give enough to meet the child's needs without creating dependency. She must also know how to get her own needs met so she is not tempted to use her son to fill the void. Second, the father must be present and have a healthy bond with his son. This connection helps the little boy move from the cozy lap of his mother to the challenging world of men. As stated above, most nice guys do not report having had a close relationship with their father in childhood. As a result, many nice guys were forced into an unhealthy bond with their mother. This bond might have formed if they had to please an angry, critical, or controlling mother. More often than not, the bond was the result of being forced to take care of a needy, dependent, or smothering mother. Without a supportive father, these boys had to negotiate an impossible situation on their own. Both childhood situations, trying to please an angry or controlling mother, or becoming mother's little partner, created a dynamic in which nice guys unconsciously became monogamous to their mothers and did not individuate in a healthy way. When a nice guy has been conditioned to be monogamous to his mother in childhood, his adult partner will know at some level that he is not really available. The partner may not consciously connect this to his bond with his mother, but she knows something is missing. Anita, a woman in her late 50s, was married to a man who was monogamous to his mother. I met Anita when she called and made an appointment for individual counseling. She believed her husband was having an affair, and she wanted some advice. As we began our session, she sat down on the couch and smiled nervously. I feel so foolish coming here, but I just don't know who to talk to. I feel crazy because I think my husband is having an affair with his secretary. He denies it. But I know something is going on. There's just too much evidence. Anita's smile disappeared and was replaced with a look of grief. She took a tissue and dabbed the corner of her eye. Dutton, that's my husband, has been through so much lately. He's under a lot of pressure at work. Things have been tight financially. And his mother died last year. He was really close to her, and I think it was really hard on him. Anita told of her suspicions of her husband's infidelity, but then came back to the subject of his mother again. If I didn't know better, I'd say his infatuation with his secretary began right after his mother died. It's like he needed something to fill a hole in his life. I always liked his mother. She was a nice lady. But I always had the feeling that Dutton was more connected to her than he was to me. Is that crazy? She asked quizzically. To be jealous of your mother-in-law? I encouraged Anita to tell me more about Dutton's family. Other than his father, she continued, he believes his family is great. That's because of his mother, of course. She was a real saint. His father was extremely harsh with the kids. Their mom was the one they turned to for nurturing. She was really good at listening and being there for them. Anita seemed relieved to be able to talk about something besides her suspicions of her husband. Before she died, Dutton paid for them to get carpet in their house and bought them two nice reclining chairs, because he knew his father never would. He used to drive her places, because he knew his father wouldn't. He treated his mother real special, I think to make up for what she had to go through living with his dad. One time I was angry at him, and I accused him of treating his mother better than he treated me. He blew up. Anita made an explosion gesture with her arms. He told me to never say that again. He didn't talk to me for 2 weeks after that. I learned not to bring up that subject. Anita paused for a moment. Do you think there could be any connection between his mom dying and him having an affair? They loved each other so much. Maybe his secretary fills that void. Does that sound crazy to you? Nice guys tend to seek the approval of women. Due to their family and social conditioning, nice guys tend to seek the approval of women, even as they are trying to become what they believe women want them to be and doing what they believe women want them to do, nice guys tend to experience tremendous frustration in gaining the approval they so intensely desire. This frustration is due to the reality that, in general, women view men who try to please them as weak and hold these men in contempt. Most women do not want a man who tries to please them. They want a man who knows how to please himself. Women consistently share with me that they don't want a passive, pleasing wimp. They want a man, someone with his balls still intact. Getting your testicles back. Avoiding relationships with men and seeking the approval of women prevents nice guys from getting what they really want in love and life. In order to reverse the effects of the nice guy syndrome, nice guys have to reclaim their masculinity. The process involves believing that it really is a good thing to be a man and embracing all of their masculine traits. Reclaiming one's masculinity involves connecting with other men, getting strong, finding healthy male role models, re-examining one's relationship with one's father. Connecting with men helps nice guys reclaim their masculinity. Connecting with men is essential for reclaiming masculinity. Building relationships with men requires a conscious effort. This process begins with a commitment to develop male friendships. In order to do this, recovering nice guys must be willing to make the time, take risks, and be vulnerable. For most nice guys, time seems to be a big factor that keeps them disconnected from men. It takes time to talk with a neighbor, call up a friend, or go to a ball game. Since many nice guys are enmeshed with their wives, families, or work, this means taking time away from these things. Connecting with men involves doing guy things with guys. There is no right way to do this. But it can include joining a team, going to sporting events, joining a prayer or discussion group, having a poker night, doing volunteer work, going fishing, going for a run, or just hanging out. Alan is an example of what can happen when a recovering nice guy makes the decision to connect with men. Alan had a difficult time doing things for himself, especially with other men. When he made a conscious effort to begin addressing this issue, he had to first take a look at what kept him disconnected from men and what he could do to start changing the pattern. One of the first things Alan did was to join a men's therapy group. Even then, it took more than a year before he began doing things with the men outside of the group. As he did, these men were able to give him feedback about his defense mechanisms that kept him isolated. These men also supported him in changing the ways he related to his wife. Alan also joined a health club, where he started playing volleyball and racquetball with other men. Later, he took the lead in starting up a softball team. At first, it was difficult to take time out just for himself, especially when it meant being away from his family. It took a few years, but Alan now has a couple of close male friends, as well as several other guys he sees on a regular basis. He even takes a yearly road trip with friends across the country for a weekend of golf. He looks at these trips with the guys as one of the highlights of his year. Both Alan and his wife Marie believe Alan's conscious decision to connect with men saved their marriage. Alan had made his wife his emotional center. His life revolved around trying to please her and make her happy. Due to his ineffective covered contracts, Alan never believed Marie gave as much to him as he gave to her. As a result, he was often resentful and passive-aggressive. When Alan began to get his emotional and social needs met with men, it took a lot of pressure off his wife. As Alan reclaimed his masculine energy, he also began to look more attractive to Marie. Even though it was initially difficult to tell her that he was going to spend time with his friends, she respected him when he did. This newfound respect rekindled the feelings she had first felt toward Alan early in their relationship. As Alan found out, there are numerous benefits from developing male relationships. Perhaps one of the most significant benefits for nice guys is that it improves their relationships with women. I consistently tell nice guys, the best thing you can do for your relationship with your girlfriend or wife is to have male friends. As they get many of their emotional needs met with men, recovering nice guys become less dependent, needy, manipulative, and resentful in their relationships with women. Developing male relationships makes recovering nice guys less susceptible to seeking women's approval or allowing themselves to be defined by the opposite sex. If the nice guy's girlfriend or wife is angry at him or thinks he is a jerk, he can take comfort in knowing his buddies think he is okay. He is therefore less likely to resort to peacekeeping or fixing to try to keep his partner happy. Friendships with men have the potential for tremendous depth and intimacy because there is no sexual agenda. A nice guy will frequently avoid doing anything that might upset his partner and cause her to not want to have sex with him. With men, recovering nice guys don't feel like they have to please, placate, lie, caretake, or sacrifice like they believe they have to do with women. Not having a sexual agenda removes the fear and dysfunctional dances so common for nice guys in their relationships with the opposite sex. Breaking the monogamous bond to mom. Developing male relationships helps undo a nice guy's monogamous bond with his mother. Little boys get pulled into unhealthy relationships with their mothers only when their fathers allow it. The solution to reversing this dynamic is creating healthy relationships with men. When my daughter Jamie was 18, she had a boyfriend who had been conditioned to be monogamous to his mother. The boy's father frequently traveled for his job, was emotionally unavailable, rigid, and demanding. The boy's mother smothered her son and made him her emotional partner. On several occasions, Jamie felt as if she were competing with her boyfriend's mother for his attention and affection. Unfortunately, since the mother had first dibs on him, she usually won. It felt strange to Jamie to be jealous of and in competition with her boyfriend's mother. Nevertheless, she passed the situation off as just a case of her boyfriend and his mother having a very close relationship. One Friday night, Jamie and I went out for dinner. While we ate, she shared her frustrations of having to compete with her boyfriend's mother, especially now that he had joined the Marines and was away at boot camp. I empathized with my daughter and shared the facts of life with her. "Your boyfriend is a classic nice guy," I told her. "He has been conditioned to be monogamous to his mother. Unfortunately, that means that he will never be able to bond completely with you. Something will always get in the way. You may be tempted to focus on that thing as if it is the problem, but the real problem is his relationship with his mother." Jamie wasn't thrilled with what I told her, but for an 18-year-old, she was pretty intuitive and knew what I was saying was true. She even shared a few examples of the ways she had already seen this happen. "Is there any hope?" Jamie asked. "Can he ever break free from his mother and become available for me?" "Yes," I said, "there is one hope. He has to learn to connect with men in ways that he couldn't with his father." I told her, "I think it is a good thing that he is in the Marines and connecting with men. You can support that too. If you two continue dating, or even marry, encourage his relationships with men. They are the one hope you have of him breaking his monogamous bond with his mother." A month or so later, Jamie flew down to San Diego with her boyfriend's parents to attend his graduation from boot camp. As usual, his mother acted possessive and territorial. Amazingly, Jamie noticed a difference in her boyfriend. On several occasions, he set boundaries with his mother and refused to let her hook an emotional hose up to him. Jamie could tell that this was primarily the result of her boyfriend having bonded with several guys in boot camp and from embracing his own masculinity. Breaking Free, Activity 25. List three men whom you would like to get to know better. Next to each man's name, list a possible activity you could do together. Next to this, write down a date and make a commitment to contact him by this day. Getting strong helps nice guys reclaim their masculinity. Masculinity denotes strength and power. Because of their conditioning, nice guys tend to fear these traits. As a result, they often become emotionally and physically soft. Some even take pride in this softness. I've met many nice guys who work out or practice martial arts, but who are still afraid of their strength. Embracing one's masculinity means embracing one's body, power, and spaciousness. In order to do this, recovering nice guys have to stop putting junk into their bodies and train them to respond to the physical demands of being male. This involves eating healthy foods, eliminating drugs and alcohol, working out, drinking lots of water, playing, relaxing, and getting enough rest. Whether the nice guy stays fit by running, swimming, weight training, martial arts, playing basketball, volleyball, or tennis, this physical strength translates into self-confidence and power in every other aspect of his life. Travis, an attorney in his early 50s, is a good example. Travis came to see me to deal with his marital difficulties. During the first session of counseling, two things became immediately evident. First, Travis was a nice guy. And second, he had a drug and alcohol problem. I told him I would work with him only if he got a drug and alcohol assessment, quit drinking, and started attending Alcoholics Anonymous. Travis complied with all my boundaries and asked if he could join one of the No More Mr. Nice Guy groups. Over the next several months, Travis's relationship with his wife was up and down like a yo-yo. In addition to marital problems, it also became apparent that Travis had a number of other lifestyle problems. His diet consisted primarily of fast food. He was a chain smoker, and he drank several cups of coffee a day. He worked long hours and got absolutely no exercise. Over the next several months, Travis began to address these issues one at a time. He started taking time away from work to attend AA meetings and spend time with other recovering men. He decided to have a surgery he had been putting off for years. Since he wouldn't be able to smoke for a few days, he decided it was a good time to quit for good. After his surgery, he began going for walks during his lunch hour. He started drinking more water and cut back on his coffee and soft drink consumption. He even took a week off from work and went fishing with some friends in Alaska. About 10 months after joining the Nice Guy group, he shared that he was filing for divorce. With his lifestyle changes and the support of the group, he had come to realize that his combative relationship with his wife was his last bad habit that needed to go. While relaying his decision to the group, he revealed that his wife blamed the group for killing their marriage. Travis smiled and then wiped a tear from the corner of his eye. "Thanks to this group, I feel strong. I could never have made these changes without your help. This group didn't kill my marriage. It saved my life." Breaking Free, Activity 26. Identify three ways in which you neglect your body. Write down three ways in which you can start taking better care of yourself. Seeking out healthy role models helps nice guys reclaim their masculinity. I encourage recovering nice guys to visualize what they think a healthy male would look like and think of healthy masculine traits they would like to develop. With that picture in mind, they can go out and look for men who have these kinds of qualities. These men may be in their church, their company, their softball team, even characters on TV or the movies. By observing how these men live their lives and interact with the world, the nice guy can begin assimilating a healthier model of manhood. Like many recovering nice guys, I have done this work by committee. I developed a friendship with one man who was good at doing guy things. I formed a relationship with another guy who was a hard worker. I created a relationship with a man who was comfortable revealing himself and sharing his feelings. I made another friend who was good at taking risks and challenging himself. Each of these men, in their own way, helped me see what it looks like to be male, and have been role models for reclaiming my own masculinity. Breaking Free, Activity 27. Visualize what you think a healthy male would look like. What personality traits would he possess? Write these down. Do you know anyone who has a number of these traits? How could you use this person as a healthy role model? re-examining their relationship with their father helps nice guys reclaim their masculinity. As I've mentioned before, most nice guys do not report having had a close relationship with their father in childhood. Their fathers were either passive, unavailable, absent, or defined in some negative way. Reclaiming their masculinity requires that nice guys examine their relationships with their fathers and take a look at them through adult eyes. Matthew, a computer programmer in his mid-40s, is a good example of this process. On one occasion in a No More Mr. Nice Guy group, Matthew stated that he had no intention of attending his father's funeral when he should die. Months later, after exploring his relationship with his father in the group, he decided to call and confront his dad when he didn't get invited to a family function. Matt's mother had always portrayed his dad as a villain while representing herself as a victim. While talking with his father, Matthew came to the realization that even though his dad had problems, he wasn't bad like his mother had made him out to be. From this encounter, Matthew also realized that he had created a similar scenario with his wife, identifying her as the villain and himself as the victim. Not only did that phone call to his father begin to change his relationship with his dad, but also with his wife. For nice guys, re-examining their relationship with their fathers means seeing their dads through their own eyes as they really are. It means taking them out of the gutter or off of the pedestal. This may require that nice guys hold them accountable by expressing their feelings to them, including rage and anger. This is essential, even if these men are dead. Sometimes this takes place in their father's presence, sometimes not. It's not so important that the father is available to do this work. What is essential is that recovering nice guys embrace the male heritage they and their fathers share. The goal is to find a way to view fathers more accurately. Recovering nice guys can begin to accept these men for who they were and are, wounded human beings. This shift is essential if nice guys are going to view themselves more accurately, accept themselves for who they are, and reclaim their masculinity. Breaking Free, Activity 28. Embracing masculinity involves coming to see Dad more accurately. To facilitate this process, create a list. On the left side, list the number of your father's characteristics. Write the opposite characteristic on the right side. Indicate where on the spectrum between the two that you see yourself. When recovering nice guys do this exercise, they are often surprised at what they discover about their fathers and themselves. They often see how they have made their fathers into a caricature, a distortion of who they really are. They may realize that if the man they have become is based on a reaction to how they saw their fathers, they too have become caricatures. Remember, the opposite of crazy is still crazy. They realize that if their lives are a reaction to Dad, then Dad is still in control. They discover that they can be different from Dad without being the opposite. They often come to realize that they have more traits in common with their fathers than they had previously realized or wanted to accept. Passing the benefits of masculinity on to the next generation. Part 1. Snakes and Snails. As I work to raise my sons, I realize that they are growing up in a world very much like the one that created my generation of nice guys. Boys are disconnected from men and are dependent on gaining the approval of women. This was brought home to me a couple of years back when our family moved to a new home the summer before my son Steve entered the fourth grade. When I attended his PTA open house, I was jolted with a dose of reality. In kindergarten through fifth grade, there was only one male classroom teacher in the whole school. That's about a 20-to-1 ratio. As the teachers were introduced a grade at a time and then stood together on the gym floor, I received a visual picture of the environment in which little boys spend the most impressionable years of their lives. As a recovering nice guy, I have a unique chance to pass on a new model of masculinity, not only to my sons and daughter, but to a whole generation of boys and girls. The more time I spend working with nice guys, the more I realize that this process represents a powerful tool for giving the next generation a saner model of what it means to be men and women. Unfortunately, our culture provides few rituals in which adult males help boys leave the comfort of a nursery ruled by women, home, preschool, school, and enter the world of adult manhood. Robert Bly discusses the importance of these rituals in his book Iron John. In primitive societies, Bly writes, the boys are pretty much raised by the women until early adolescence, when it is time for the boys to leave the sphere of female influence and move into the men's world, the men of the tribe stage a raid. They put on their war paint, enter the village, and steal the boys away. The women, on cue, weep, protest, and do their best to hang on to the boys. After the men have taken the boys outside the village for their period of initiation, the women get together and ask, "How did I do? Was I believable?" In these cultures, the men and women work together to facilitate this process of transition and initiation. These days, boys try to make this transition from a world ruled by women, but they can't do it on their own. I have a theory that the phase that adolescent boys pass through, where they dress sloppily, look scraggly, act aggressively, hole up in their room, slouch, play loud music, swear, and spit a lot, are all unconsciously aimed at making themselves so repulsive that even their mothers can't stand them. This helps them break the symbiotic bonds with their moms. Nevertheless, these young men still need help from adult males in pulling away from their mothers without feeling guilt and shame, and without overly self-destructive behaviors. I believe recovering nice guys can help boys find a saner model of what it means to be male in our culture. This is because there are certain things that boys can only learn from men. As nice guys embrace their masculinity, they can teach their sons what it means to be male. This includes how to handle their aggression, how to handle their libido, how to relate to women, how to bond with a man, and perhaps most importantly, how to embrace their own masculinity. Men teach these lessons both by example and by interaction with young boys. As a recovering nice guy, I also benefit from being with my adolescent sons and their friends. When I'm around my boys, I get to see unbridled maleness in action. Not only do I get to teach my sons how to handle their testosterone-related behaviors, such as aggression and sexuality, they also show me how to embrace mine. This reciprocal process requires time and interaction. Fathers need to take their sons hunting and fishing, work on cars with them, take them to work, coach their teams, take them to ball games, work out with them, take them on business trips, and let them tag along with them when they want to go out with the guys. All of these activities help boys move successfully into the male world. This process is not just limited to a man's biological sons. Nice guys can get involved with young relatives, scouts, sports teams, school activities, or big brothers. Trey, a single man in his late 30s, illustrates the power of this male influence. One night in his men's group, Trey talked about his nephew, who was being raised by Trey's sister, a single mother. Trey had strong feelings about what was happening to his nephew because the boy was going through some of the same rebellion and acting out with alcohol that Trey had experienced at the same age. The group encouraged Trey to reach out to his nephew and be a positive male influence. The next week in group, Trey was beaming. He told how he had taken his nephew to the hardware store and how the two of them had put together a workbench. His nephew was thrilled with the male contact. Trey came away with a feeling that he had done something positive to help change the direction of a struggling young boy. Breaking Free, Activity 29. How can you provide a healthy male support system for the boys and young men you know? List 3 boys along with an activity you can participate in with them. Passing the Benefits On, Part 2, Sugar and Spice. Little girls can benefit from this reclaimed masculine energy as well. The men in one of my No More Mr. Nice Guy groups showed me the benefits of male energy on a young girl in a powerful way. One of the members, Lamar, had a 12-year-old daughter with bone cancer. She had to have a leg removed and undergo chemotherapy and radiation. As a result, she had spent countless days and nights in a hospital bed. One Friday evening, while Lamar was sitting at the hospital at his daughter's bedside, the members of his men's group showed up unexpectedly to take him out to dinner. In addition to providing masculine support for Lamar during a difficult time, the men also produced an unexpected dividend. Energized by their presence, Lamar's daughter sat up and received hugs from each guy. That night, she needed less medication and slept better than she had in weeks. The next day, all she could talk about was her guys who had come to visit her the night before. Recovering nice guys can show their daughters what a real man looks like. Girls benefit by seeing their fathers set boundaries, ask for what they want in clear and direct ways, work hard, create, produce, have male friends, and make their own needs a priority. As with little boys, girls can learn what it means to be male both by watching their fathers and by interacting with them. This modeling will have a positive influence on their choice of future partners. A no-lose situation. As nice guys reclaim their masculine energy, everyone wins. Not only does the recovering nice guy get to experience deeper bonds with men, but his relationships with women grow too. Perhaps most significantly, a whole new generation of boys and girls reap the benefits of seeing what a healthy male really looks like.